Just try to roll the tanks and trucks over without exploding them,
said Johnny.
Use no radiation bullets, just blast gun force. Keep your weapons on broad blast, no flame, and stun. We don't want to kill them. As soon as they're all strung out along this ravine, block the road from the ambush. I'll block it from the rear. The rest of you, flank it from the ridge. This battle plane is to help if they get loose and head back toward the forest, right?
Right.
A coordinator tried unsuccessfully to make up for the absence of the Russian coordinator, who was now with Ivan, and then said,
I'll make sure the Russian coordinator explains it when we get to the others. Oh, I've got it straight. I can tell them then.
Remember, there's a slim possibility that Allison is in that convoy. So keep your eye out for him, and if he gets away in the fight, don't shoot him.
Right.
And they'd get it explained to these Russians here when they caught up with Ivan.
Smooth,
said Robert the Fox.
Oh, so very smooth. The bulk of our force can't be briefed because the translator is elsewhere. What stupendous planning and coordination. I wish us luck. We will need it.
But we've got the cyclos outnumbered.
What?
Exclaimed Robert the Fox.
There's more than 100 of them and only 50 or so of us.
That's what I mean. We've got them outnumbered, 1/2 to 1.
They got it. And some Russians more advanced in English than the rest explained the joke to the other Russians. They all laughed. The rain had been getting them down. They felt better. Johnny was getting down to the flatbed where a Scot and 4 Russians, one of them a driver, waited, when a scurry in the plane drew his attention. It was Bitty McLeod, all set to go with him, draped around with equipment. This was something Johnny did not want. The coming battle was nothing to drag the boy into. But there was a problem. The boy's pride. Johnny thought fast. This was almost harder to solve than the tactics. Bitty's world was filled with the romances of 2,000 years ago, when knighthood was in flower, with flame-breathing dragons and pure knights and rescued fair damsels. Nothing wrong with that. He was a sweet little boy, and his greatest ambition was to grow up and become a man like Dunaldin or himself. Nothing wrong with that either. But his dreams risked bruising against the brutal realities of this world in which they fought, a world with its own brand of dragons. He would never live to become like Prince Dunaldin or Sir Johnny if he were not protected. But there was his pride. And it was showing now when he saw Johnny's paws, saw the search for an excuse to say no in Johnny's ice-blue eyes. Hurriedly, Johnny grabbed a mine radio from a seat and thrust it into the boy's hands. Johnny tapped the one in his own belt. He leaned very close to Biddy's ear and whispered,
I need a reliable contact on this plane who can tell me, after the battle is joined, if anything is going wrong. Don't use it until the first shot is fired. But if there's anything amiss after that, you tell me fast.
He put a finger to his lips. Bitty was instantly bright, if a trifle conspiratorial. He nodded.
Oh, yes, Sir Johnny.
And he faded back into the plane. Johnny hobbled down the squishy road to the flatbed. It was sitting there, lights stabbing through the sheets of rain. He checked his crew, got in, and nodded to the driver. The flatbed, with its flying mine platform and mortar, roared, drowning out the snarling fight over in the woods. They were off in a truck to do combat with tanks.